We're just going to read a couple of verses to begin, and we'll pray, and then we'll get back to this story and read it. I want to preach to you this morning. The title of the message is Walking Through the Fire. Walking through the fire. Those of you who have been around, you know we've been studying last year and this, some things about kneeling and sitting and standing and walking. And eventually we're going to get to running here soon, later this year. But several messages we've preached where we've studied some things in the Bible in relation to walking. And that's taken us many directions. But this morning, the message is walking through the fire. Walking through the fire. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 24 says, Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask you to work in our hearts today. Spirit of God, we believe that you can work in our spirit, and we want you to. I want you to speak to our spirit, to convict our heart. May you use your word and use it to pierce to our heart and to affect us and to change us and to help us. And may we be strengthened because of the message today, and may we make some determinations to glorify you through our lives, even through fires. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read one verse to you. Isaiah 24, 15 says this, Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel, in the isles of the sea. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 says this, Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, no matter what we face in life, we are supposed to glorify God. Does that even include then? Does that even mean that we're supposed to glorify God in some fiery trials? Does that mean we're supposed to glorify God when we go through some difficulties in life? And I believe it does mean that. That yes, we are. God ought to be glorified even in the fires that we go through. According to Corinthians, we're to glorify God in everything. When we face the different fires of life, we're to glorify God. What does it mean to glorify the Lord? It means that we're to magnify and honor God. In other words, to glorify the Lord through the fiery trials of life would mean that we are to be sure that He is magnified even in the fire or because of the fire. We want God to be magnified. We want God to be, you know, a magnifying glass, it makes something appear bigger, right? We want God to be made big in our life. We want others to look at our life and look at us as we go through some fiery trials, and we want God to be made big in their sight. We want people to get a big opinion of our God. We want people to see God for how big He is and how mighty He is and how strong He is and how He can help us and how He can deliver us and how He can give us strength and joy and peace like nobody else can. We want God to be magnified in our life and magnified to the world. In the Scriptures, we want to talk about three types of fires where we ought to glorify the Lord. We come to this opinion right off that God wants to be glorified even through the fires in your life. And some of you are going through fires. And some of you, if you're not walking through a fiery trial in your life right now, you might be going through a trial later this year. You might be going through a trial next year. Listen, all of us will go through trials and we'll have difficulties in our life. And when we go through the trial, we want God to be glorified. We want God to be magnified in our lives. First, we are to glorify the Lord in the fire of persecution. We're to glorify the Lord in the fire of persecution. Daniel chapter 3, if you still have your Bible open, we're going to go ahead and read this chapter. I just want you to see this story and see how God was glorified through the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible tells us here, Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Nebuchadnezzar, in pride, wanted to make an image of himself, a great big statue that everyone would bow down to, that everyone would worship to. It says, he brought them all to the dedication, verse 4. Then herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, so on, all the instruments, they fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever." Verse 10. "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet and all those instruments shall bow down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And you know what? They weren't supposed to. These were Jewish men, these were Hebrew men that were going to worship their God. They were in a foreign land, they were in a foreign country that would have had false gods. And here was a king even that made this statue. And everyone is going to be required to bow down and worship this statue, this great big golden image of the king. The Bible would teach them, they knew in their law, they weren't supposed to bow down to any other image. They weren't supposed to bow down to any graven image. They weren't supposed to have put any other gods before their God. They weren't ever supposed to bow down to a statue or to an idol or anything like this. They could not do that and be true to their God. So they had to make a choice. What will we do? They chose that regardless of if there's persecution, we're going to stand for our God. We're going to do what's right. We're going to do what our God would want us to do. It says in verse 13, "Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king." Can you imagine them taking them? Maybe some soldiers grabbing them and bringing them before the king. "Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, and all the other instruments, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in verse 16, they answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." You know, they didn't want to disrespect their king. The king had found them to be faithful men and good men, that they'd been even set up. They'd been set up into positions that God had blessed certain men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that these were men that he could trust, and they'd been set up to positions of authority even in this foreign country, even in this other kingdom. They say in verse 17 to the king, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not..." You see, they believe, but they were kind of unsure at the same time. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They took their stand for right. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury in the form of his visage." In other words, his face just became raging. His face just became upset. He became so angry with them. His face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated." Can you imagine that?
He gets so angry. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go and you heat that furnace up 7 times hotter. They're going to bow down. He was upset.
Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. They were being persecuted because they were just standing for their God, doing what was right. It says, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot. See, this was even 7 times hotter than what they normally did it. I don't know if the soldiers wanted to do something. We're going to punish some guy the king wants to get rid of today. Well, they could go and throw him in. But we read in the story here, if you understand it, the soldiers who bound them and then took them to throw them into the fiery furnace, the Bible says as they even approached to the furnace and got close enough to throw them in, the heat of the fiery furnace was so intense that those men fell down and died. Those men got killed, not even being in the furnace, but just getting that close to it was so intense that they were killed themselves, those soldiers. The flame of the fire in verse 22 slew these men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these, verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Listen, if God takes you through a fiery trial, God's going to be there with you in the fire. If you have to walk through a fire in your life, God's going to be there with you. God's going to take care of you. God's going to help you. It says verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't smell like folk. They didn't smell like smoke. They didn't smell like fire. They didn't smell like, you know, burned ashes. No, the fire didn't touch them. The fire didn't hurt them. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Listen, I'd say this. I'd say God was glorified. I'd say God was glorified through it all. I believe that God was glorified through the way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego behaved themselves. I think He was glorified by the way that they took their stand for right, that no matter what happens, no matter what persecution may come, He may throw us into the fiery furnace, but we're not going to change from what our God wants us to do. We're going to stand for right. We're going to do what God wants. If it means going into the fire, we'll go into the fire, but we're standing for God. I think God was glorified just through their decision and their testimony. And I think God was glorified in how it ended up changing the king's heart. What does Matthew 5 teach us about how our good works? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God ended up being glorified, and it was King Nebuchadnezzar that ended up saying, their God, He is the true God. There's no God that can save like their God. There's no other God that can do what their God did. God was glorified even that their testimony, their life affected someone else. It affected the king. We are to glorify God in the fire of persecution. We have this incredible story of the three Hebrew children who faced Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. When they were threatened to go through the fire, they did not flinch in their stand, but they were willing to face the fire of persecution for the Lord's sake. Turn with me, if you would, over to the New Testament, the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4. 1 Peter, chapter number 4. It would be right, probably towards the end of your New Testament. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar saw a fourth there that was like unto the Son of God. The three Hebrew children certainly glorified God even in the fire of persecution. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12 tells us this as believers. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." He says, don't think it's strange if you go through a trial. Don't think it's strange if you face persecution. Listen, didn't your Savior, Jesus Christ, didn't He suffer and die on the cross for you and me? Wasn't He rejected of men? Sometimes we think, well, if I'm a Christian, just everybody's going to love me. And everything's going to be good and everything's going to be wonderful. No, we live in a world where the world is not going to love your Savior. So much of the world doesn't love Jesus Christ and doesn't love the true God. And listen, you will not necessarily be loved just because, well, you're a Christian. What if you ever feel like, what if you're someone who has a good testimony as a Christian and you really make it known that you're a Christian? And you're maybe not afraid sometimes to even witness in your workplace and try to tell some others about Jesus Christ. You know what? There may be some day where you think, oh, somebody else has gotten a promotion that I just don't get because I feel like, you know, I feel a little persecution. You feel like maybe, maybe you've worked someplace a long time and you've been a good worker and this and that. And I believe that God can choose to promote even that. God can bless. What if sometimes you feel like, well, others are getting the promotion, I'm not, because I'm a Christian, because I take a real, a visible stand for the Lord and I talk about my Lord? Listen, there'll be times we might face persecution all kinds of ways. You might have some that don't like you for being a Christian. You might have times you feel you're not favored because of being a Christian. The Bible goes on there and says this in verse 14, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of God and of glory resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." Glorified. It says there in verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him," what? "Glorify." Glorify God on this behalf. Verse 19, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Christian, whenever you face the fires of persecution, be sure that the Lord is glorified. The best way to glorify God in these fires is to be sure not to compromise what you believe. Don't ever compromise what you believe. If you would ever feel like, you know, in order to get something in a workplace, I have to compromise my belief, I have to do something dishonest, you don't do it. Don't do it. Take your stand and do what's right. If you're in a workplace where a boss would ask you to do something that's dishonest and you won't get that promotion, you know, or they threaten you, you won't get that promotion unless you do what I want you to do, and you know it's something where they're asking you to do something dishonest or wrong, you don't do it. You do what is right. You lose your job, you can get another job. God can take care of you. But you take your stand for the Lord. We should always, teenagers, adults, every one of us, should always do what is right. We should do what is right. We should take our stand, even if it's in the face of persecution. Even if it means we might have to go through the fire. Even if it means that we might face a trial. You do what is right. You do what is right. The best way to glorify God in the fire is to be sure not to compromise what you believe. Persecution will come to the Christian who stands for truth. When you stand for truth on the job or in society or in your neighborhood, there may be some who hate you. There may be some that try to do everything in their power to be rid of you. It's in these times that you must be sure that the Lord is magnified and the Lord is glorified through your life and through your behavior and through your testimony. Do what is right and let God be glorified. First thing this morning is that we are to glorify the Lord in the fire of persecution. If it means persecution, if it means walking through that fire, do right. Do right. Do right. Let God be glorified. Secondly, we're to glorify the Lord in the fire of refining. We're to glorify the Lord in the fire of refining. Number one is the fire of persecution. Number two is the fire of refining, the refiner's fire. Throughout the Scriptures, you can find that God talks about gold being purified, coming forth from a refiner's fire. God often compares the refiner's fire to the fiery trials that a Christian may face. That God will use those to refine us. God says that one of the reasons He allows us to walk through the fire is so that we can come forth as gold. When God decides to send you through the refiner's fire, you need to be sure to glorify the Lord. Now, the fire may not be pleasant, but God is trying to make something better out of you and out of your life. Psalm 66:10 says this, "For Thou, O God, hast proved us, Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." Talking about that refiner's fire, the purifying process. The word trying means purging or purifying. Precious metals such as silver and gold, they come from the earth. They're earthy. They're earthy. They'll be covered in dirt. They'll be sometimes in the midst of worthless rock. And all that rock has to be chipped away and banged away to get the gold. That gold will need to be maybe heated and boiled to take all the impurities out. Make it pure gold. The refining process is what separates the precious metal from the dross. The word dross is used in the Bible. When we think of the dross, we could think of even the scum that's scraped off, the dirt that's scraped off, that's taken away. In the process of heating up and melting a precious metal, the dross will rise to the top and then it can be scraped off. That's how something that is precious and valuable is purified. Don't you want the scum, the dirt, out of your life? Out of my life? I want that. We might not like the refiner's fire. Oh, that's hot. Oh, that gets heated up pretty hot in order for it to be purified. Proverbs 17:3 says, "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." God will put us through that refiner's fire in order to purify us, to purify our life. Why? Because it'll be that pure life that'll glorify the Lord. As a Christian, God's not going to be honored and glorified and magnified by a life that is full of dirt and full of scum and full of things that are sinful. No, our lives need to be purified in order to better glorify and magnify our Lord Jesus Christ. The refiner's pot gets heated very, very hot in order to melt the precious metal like a gold or silver. And God will literally put us through the fire to make us better. That's what the Bible teaches. But sometimes people make the mistake of getting bitter instead of getting better. God wants the refiner's fire to make us better, but some people get bitter against God. They get bitter against God. Our reaction to our suffering will make all the difference in the world. Will we get bitter because God is taking away our scum, taking away the dirty and impure things in our life, or will we let God just make us better? Realizing He wants my life to be more pure. He wants my heart to be more pure. He wants my life to glorify and magnify Him. When we see the suffering the way that God sees it, we can change our attitude. That's where faith comes in. Is God good when you suffer? Is the Bible still true about the goodness of God when things are not going your way? We think of the life of Job, and many would know of him. He went through certainly a refiner's fire. But he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Your attitude will make a great difference. God is in the refining business. He may sometimes put us in that pot, if you will. The refiner's pot. He may put us in that refiner's furnace. He may heat it up. And it gets so hot to the point that, I don't like this. It's pretty hot. You may go through some trials that are pretty hot. You may go through some fires in your life and some trials and some difficulties. Ooh, it's hot. I don't like this. Realize that God is heating things up because He's wanting to purify your heart and purify your life and make us more like Jesus Christ. The furnace, the trials, the pressures, the fire will do a great job on all of us if we'll stay in the furnace. You get saved, you start going to church, and some things start to get a little bit better in your life. You get excited and want to get more involved, and so you start attending more than the Sunday morning service. You get an interest in the Bible and you begin to read it. You get excited about wanting to talk to the Lord and you learn to pray. You're excited about a great new life that you found, but then you start to have problems. Maybe you have more strife in your home than you had before. Maybe you feel more pressure than peace. Maybe some old friends turn against you. Maybe you get a bad report from the doctor. Maybe you lose your job. Maybe your dog dies. Maybe your neighbor tries to give you their cat. And you think, what in the world is going on? I'm just kidding. Some of you love cats, and that's wonderful. I've never been a big fan. But cats are wonderful. God made them. And I'd rather snuggle with my wife on the couch. But I understand that. Anyways, so I shouldn't have said that. I probably made mad. Please forgive me. God will try to purge us and purify us. It takes a hot fire to melt down the silver and the gold and to take the impurities out. But remember this, it's God who built the furnace. It's God who lights the furnace. It's God who determines how hot to make the temperature of that furnace. It's God who's going to be watching over the entire process because He's trying to purify you. Purify your life and purify my life. We're never left unattended. God is trying to make us better. Job 23:10 says, "But He knoweth the way that I take when He hath tried me. I shall come forth as gold." He's trying to purify us. What's my part in all that? Stand for that which is right. Even if it means going into the furnace of affliction. Stay in the furnace and let God do His refining. Don't run out of it. If God puts you in the fiery furnace, if God makes you walk through the fire, don't run out of the fire. God is letting you go through the fire. God will let you walk through the fire because He wants to purify your heart and your life. Don't run out on it. Don't run out of the marriage. Don't run out of church. Don't run out of the will of God. Don't run out of that godly friendship. Don't run. Let the furnace of affliction do its work in your life. God will show Himself strong if we'll stay in the furnace. When we stay in the furnace, we can be remembering, just like in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that Jesus is there with us. You go through the fire, He'll be in the fire with you. When we stay in the furnace, we find out that we'll find victory over the ropes that bound us. Remember, they had been bound and cast into the fiery furnace, but when they came out of there, God had burned the ropes, but He hadn't burned them. They were no longer bound. They were no longer tied by those ropes. Proverbs 5 says, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden," or held tightly, in other words, "with the cords of his sins." In God's work of purifying, it's trying to get us out of some of those cords of sin that bind us. If we struggle with a sin, that sin keeps binding us, and we keep kind of losing that battle. Listen, God's refining work is to try to purify us. Get the sin out of our life. Get the scum out of our life. Get the dross out of our life. To purify our life and to make us more like Christ. If we want victory over sinful habits, stay in the furnace. We must see suffering not as an enemy to hurt us, but as a friend to purify us. We're to glorify the Lord in the fire of persecution. We're to glorify the Lord in the fire of refining. And we're to glorify the Lord when we go through the fire that tries our faith. The fire that tries our faith. Just look in one passage and we're going to be done. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 6. It says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Talking about trials. Talking about going through fires. Talking about going through difficulties. That God may lead us through trials. And there's a purpose in those trials. And it says in verse 7, that the trial of your faith the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Remember, that's what it all goes back to. We want God to be glorified even through the fires in our life. We want God to be glorified, even if He brings us through trials in our life, even if He tries our faith, even if we're tried with persecution, even if we're tried in a refiner's fire. In all of it, we want God to be glorified. Our faith may be tried. He talks about trying our faith with fire. There will be times when the Lord will test your faith in the fire so that your faith can grow. Your faith will never grow without being tried in the fire. You may want to be a better Christian, but we'll never be a better Christian without our faith being tried, without our faith being tested. The key to glorifying the Lord in these three fires is found really in that verse. It said, "Glorify ye the Lord in the fires." You catch it? Glorify ye the Lord in the fires. Sometimes you'll be in the fiery furnace. You'll have to walk, be walking in. You'll be walking through the fire. God will bring you through it. But you have to be in the fire. Or in the fiery furnace. Or in the refiner's pot. In the furnace. We cannot glorify the Lord outside the fire, but we'll glorify Him in the fire. We must walk through the fire. If you run away from every hardship of life, then you will fail to bring glory to the Lord. Christian, you may not particularly desire or like the fires that God sends your way. But you must endure those fires, for it is while you are in them that the Lord receives the glory. Realize that the Lord can be glorified through the trials or fires in your life that you go through. The Lord received the glory while the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace. He received glory from that. If they had avoided the fire, then God would never have received the glory. Think about it. If they would have avoided the fire, I'm not willing to do that. I'll doubt it. They would have avoided the fire. God would not have been glorified. God would not have been magnified. They would have had the glowing... No pun intended. They would have had the glowing testimony that they had by going through the fire. I just thought of that. Seriously. They had a great testimony for God because they went in the fire. The king's heart was changed. He said, "Your God is the true God, the real God. He's a powerful God." He was glorified because they went through the fire. Don't run from the fire. Don't avoid the fire. God, when He sends you through fiery trials, but it's while you go through them that the Lord will receive the glory He deserves. Not every with fire we walk through will be pleasant. Some trials we may go through may be difficult, but we can thank the Lord that He counts us worthy of receiving glory through our lives. He wants to receive glory. Let's pray together.